We've already had a good start for revival. I hope I don't mess it up. I say that sincerely. Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. We'll be going through verses 1 through 9, but I'm just going to cut it off as far as the reading. In the year that Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the fire, off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, thy iniquity is taken away, thy sin purged." As we read about this, it's always been one of my favorite portions of Scripture. And Isaiah has a vision here of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I think we can prove that by referencing the New Testament, and I'll do that later on. Isaiah is already a preacher. He's already a prophet. But he has a vision here that transforms his ministry. And today, I want to preach on higher ground. Higher ground. Because I want you to know that Isaiah was already, you know, on good ground. But he desired to be on higher ground. Now, I want to say something about this vision. It does not tell us what prompted it. But we know that God works in answer to prayer. And I cannot help but believe that Isaiah was in some earnest prayer, seeking God's face and presence in his life. Isn't that what we're doing? Isn't that what we're doing now in praying for our revival and praying for our meeting? I hope that's what we're doing. Seeking God for a special manifestation of his presence, to grow closer to him. And I believe that Isaiah had been praying and seeking God and saying, "I want more. I want to go to higher ground. I'm thankful for what I have, but I know there's more, and I want more." And you'll never top out with God, okay? You'll never peak out with the Lord. There'll always be higher ground to attain. And I think this morning, I know some of you were not here in Sunday school, some of you are in your own classes, some of you were not here, but a good foundation was laid for revival and moving to higher ground, and that is falling in love with Jesus. I mean, just falling in love with the Lord, staying focused on him, keeping our eyes on him, and not on other things and circumstances and people and things of that nature, but really focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at this, I do believe that Isaiah was seeking. I don't think that this just happened. I know God blesses us, and God's blessed me with things I didn't even pray for, and I understand that. But I believe that this special manifestation of his presence there in Isaiah's life was a result of some earnest, fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. And Isaiah was already a righteous man and a man of God, a God-called preacher. But he wanted to step it up. And it's interesting here, in verse 1, we see the seeing of the prophet. The seeing of the prophet. In the year that Uzziah died, I saw. He's writing about what he saw. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Now, there's something I want to say about that verse. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, it could just be that it was in that year that he died. In other words, when I'm saying that, he may have just dated this vision by saying, the year that Uzziah died, I also had this vision. And we cannot say, I don't think, definitely whether it was before he died or after he died. But I am of the thought that it was after King Uzziah died. I think there's a possibility that maybe Isaiah was enjoying the blessings of a stabilized kingdom. Uzziah reigned for 52 years. He was the longest reigning king of Judah other than Manasseh. And Manasseh was as wicked as Uzziah was a good king. But Uzziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Uzziah did mess up one time. He took upon himself to go into the Holy of Holies and to do the office of a priest, which he was forbidden to do. And so, you know, even the best of men have a black mark. Amen. None of them are perfect, but he was a very good king. He was a godly king. And he was a very strong king. And the kingdom was no doubt in good shape at that time. And it was also prosperous, and it was stable, good military. I mean, no doubt there was just a lot of things that maybe make people relax. Maybe Isaiah was kind of relaxed because of the stability that King Uzziah died. And maybe, I'm just saying, that he had kind of taken his eye off the Lord a little bit. And he realized that, and I believe he was praying. And with Uzziah dying, there's no doubt to me that Isaiah realized, hey, the king died, but the Lord's still on the throne. Amen? And as we look at this, he no doubt, he says that he saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In other words, all the glory of God just filled that temple up completely. And then we see the seraphims of protection. Look at verse 2. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his feet. He covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. Two of the wings of the seraphims covered their face. And two of their wings covered their feet and even their legs. And then there were two that were left for them to maneuver. And it seems if it was possible that these angels were hovering over the throne. Now you say, why'd you call them seraphims of protection? You don't have to protect God. God's omnipotent, amen? But I'll tell you something, they were protecting. And you can see it in verse 3. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Lord of hosts. Hey, those angels proclaim that day and night. Holy, holy, holy. And they protect. What do you mean? They guard the holiness of God. That no one would ever be able to accuse God of not being righteous. Listen, he's so holy that they don't even feel worthy to be able to look upon him. And they cover their face with their wings, and they cover their feet with their wings because they understand. And these are holy angels. These are specially created beings that have been with the Lord ever since they were created. But they do not feel worthy. Can I say something? If the holy angels feel unworthy in the presence of God, what should you and I feel? Amen. I mean, really, I tell you, we don't understand the great privilege that we have to be able to go into the throne room of grace and make our petitions and requests known. The Bible actually says that we can go in boldly. Boldly. That's with confidence. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb of God that's made a way of access for us to go to the throne. But these angelic beings, knowing the holiness of God, the purity of God, cover their face and cover their feet in the presence of God Almighty. Not only do we see the seeing of the prophet and the seraphims of protection, but I've already hit on this, the sacred proclamation. It says, and one cried to another. In other words, we don't know how many angels are here. I've heard everywhere from 2 to 6. We don't know. I don't know. Don't know how many seraphims were there. But there was at least 2, that's for sure. And one cried to the other. I mean, I don't know if you understand this, but they're rejoicing. I mean, they're encouraging the other. One angel looked at the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." Now, I think it's interesting to me that the earth is coming to focus here. You know, there's people that talk about, I mean, we got these scientists and space nuts, and they're going to try to find life on another planet, another star. They can look all they want to, not going to find it. This world was created for life. And there's no other place. And that is part of what they're saying here. That is that the whole earth is full of his glory. Hey, listen, I'm sure that if you could go to Mars, that it has some beauty to it. If you could go to Venus, if you could go to Jupiter, if you could go to the furthest star, there would be some beauty and some amazing things. I think about Saturn with the rings around it. That's fascinating to me. But guess what? You look at all of them, and guess what you won't find on them? You won't find life. No life there. But as you look down at the earth, those angels look down at the earth, they see a planet that's full of life that God has created and has put such an ecosystem that it's self-contained, that it is self-replenishing. And it is an amazing thing to look at the oceans and the mountains and the clouds in the sky and the rain and the snow and the cold and the heat and all the things that God has made. And many things you can't even see, the foundations of the earth. Folks, they don't understand what's really, I mean, it's 8,000 miles. And probably the most we've ever drilled down, maybe, I don't know, a few miles. The most. And the core and the foundations of the earth, God laid. It's an amazing, hey, the earth is full of his glory. The majesty of his creative power. How he spoke this world into existence and made everything and put man here, put life here. It's full of his glory. I like riding. And of course, when I go home, we go through the country. We go by John and Jane's farm. And I like to look at the crops. Amen. And there's other places. I like to see them when they're planting them. I like to see them when they first come up. I like to watch them as they grow. I like to watch them as they're harvested. We were riding down, I guess, to Brother Mixon's the other night. Boy, they was harvesting the corn. Now, there was a great corn crop. I mean, it was beautiful. Amen. And they had those big old harvesters out there and harvesting that corn and putting it over in the bin. And then the bin, I don't know what the name of it is, would dump it into the trucks. Boy, I loved it. Amen. I mean, hey, there's just so many wonderful things on this earth. It's full of his glory. Amen. To see a newborn baby. Amen. Just to see the creative hand of God looking out, got out of the car this morning and looked up. Blue sky, beautiful blue sky. Everywhere you look, beautiful. I mean, just marvelous. Amen. There's no other place in the universe like that. God created the whole universe, but he put his special blessing on this earth. Amen. And listen, and people that deny that and are looking and talking about evolution and talking about all this junk that is not true, that they cannot back up, it is not scientific, it could not be scientific. Because if it was scientific, it'll line up with the Bible. I promise you that. Oh my, it's a wonderful thing. Hey, the sacred proclamation, those angels cried one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And I'm praying that some of that glory will be shed on us this week, these coming 2 weeks. That God might just see fit. Hey, we may not have an Isaiah vision, but I hope that these 2 weeks that we've set aside for the preaching of the Word of God and the assembling together of the saints, that the glory of God might shine down on us and meet with us, amen, and stir our hearts up and say, what a God, amen. That's, do you understand that's what these angels are saying? What a God, holy, 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 pure, sinless, perfect. In fact, it's so bright that no man could stand it in all His glory. There's no doubt that the glory of God was veiled here so that Isaiah could see it. Because Jesus said, the Bible says it over in book of Exodus, God told Moses, no man shall see my face and live. So we know that it was a veiled vision. In other words, there's no doubt that it was not God in all of His glory, even then. In fact, no man could look upon that whatsoever. Not only do we see the seeing of the prophet, the seraphims of protection, but notice this, the shaking of the post in verse 4. When those angels cried out, that angel cried out, holy, holy, holy. It says the post of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now that temple had a solid foundation. I mean a solid foundation. And at the voice of that angel just crying out, holy, 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 it shook the post of the doors of the temple. I mean it rattled them, amen. I mean this was something just amazing to behold. And Isaiah seeing this, amen. He's a man of God. He's worked for God. He's lived for God. But now he is having a vision of God that he's never seen before. He's seeing God in His glory and God in His holiness. And the post shake. Can you imagine? I think he was shaking a little bit too. In fact, I know he was. And that's where I'm getting to. Look at verse 5. The shame of the prophet. Look at it. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The word undone has the idea of being cut down or cut off. And anywhere that is used in the Bible, it has the idea of death. Isaiah thought he's going to die. There's other scriptures. When Manoah and his wife saw the angel of the Lord, he said, surely we shall die, for we have seen the Lord. And again, it was a veiled a vision. And it was just a thought thing. You remember John, the book of Revelation, when he saw the vision of Christ, he said he fell as a dead man before his feet. You remember Peter, when they had the great miraculous catch of fish, and Peter realized that he was in the presence of God, he said, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. Let me tell you something. There's one thing. Listen, I am praying for the manifestation of the presence of God, but I assure you that if God does that to you, or He does that to me, He does that to us, the first thing we're going to see is our uncleanness. Our uncleanness, our unworthiness. And he says this, and it's so interesting to me. He said, woe is me, for I am unclean, because, notice this, notice why he says, I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Isn't that interesting? He says, I'm undone, I'm cut off because I'm a man of, listen, do you think Isaiah was a cusser? I don't think so. You think he stood around telling dirty jokes? I don't think so. But I'm going to tell you something. When he comes into the presence of God, he said, you know what? My lips, there's things that come off my lips that shouldn't come off. Might have been murmuring, might have been complaining, might have been talking about somebody. I don't know what it was. Whatever it was, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a man of unclean lips. And this thing, I mean, it broke him. I mean, to the point he said, I am undone. I'm cut off. I'm going to die. Because I'm in the presence of holiness. And what, hey, listen, I've told you this many times. My wife and I were coming to church, coming down AZ Road. And when you come down in the morning like that, the sun's right here. And I had done the very best I could. I've told you this before. But it was even worse today. To clean that windshield. I mean, I must have gone over that thing three times. And, you know, and I'm looking at it, and I said, hey, that looks pretty good. Yeah. Pat myself on the back. And lo and behold, we're coming down AZ Road, and the sun's coming right in here. And it looked like somebody took grease and smeared it on the windshield. What's your point? That light showed what was there. Amen? You know, before I was kind of in the shade. And it looked good. But when that sunlight came through that windshield, I thought Lulu had cleaned it. I think she could do better. Isaiah's in the presence of light, holiness of God. Now, if he was a man that compared himself among other men, he'd look, I mean, he was top notch. He was a prophet. He was a man of God before this vision. But now he comes into the presence. I'm telling you something. Listen, I'm praying for a manifestation of the presence of God, but I want to warn you. When that thing, when it happens, it's going to take you down before it takes you up. It's going to take you down before it takes you up. And that's the, hey, listen, the way up for God is down. And John the Baptist understood that, didn't he? He must increase and I must decrease. I got to get smaller if he's going to get bigger. Amen? In fact, Seth, that was part of your lesson today. Part of your lesson, part of the thoughts that you gave today. And so I want to stay there for a minute because this thing just jumped out to me recently, I mean in the last couple of days, that the reason he said, I'm undone, notice that word because. That's a linking word. It's a connecting word. Why did he say I am undone? He said because I'm a man of unclean lips. I mean, when he come into the presence of God, he realized that everything he said wasn't right. Wasn't with the right attitude. And he needed some improvement. He needed some repentance. Turn over your Bible to James. I want to show you something. And I don't know how far I'll get with this, but this is something I really want to hit on this morning. I feel like God's led us this way. Look at chapter 3, James chapter 3. I don't know how far we'll go, but he says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. The word master is active, instructing. And somebody that's an instructor or a teacher does a lot of what? A lot of talking, doesn't they? Don't they? Yeah. I mean, it just goes along with it. It's a preacher. Yeah. And he says, listen to this, for in many things we offend all. The idea is that we all offend. We all offend in some way. Everybody in here has probably offended somebody at some point or time. And it says, for in many things we offend all. If any man, listen to this, offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. You're getting that? Now, perfect man, again, is the idea of a mature man. A complete, not sinless perfection, not somebody that has it down perfectly, but the idea is somebody that is mature, that is full grown, that is in control, that the Spirit of God's in control. Look at this. It says, if any man offend not in word, the same perfect man. Now, I'm going to read through this, and I want you to see this. What the Holy Spirit of God says here, if you can control your tongue, you can control anything. And here's the thing about it. He's going to tell you, you can't control it. You say, what am I supposed to do, preacher? You're to yield to the Holy Ghost that can control it. Amen. To give him control. Look what it says. He says, behold, we put bits. Bits not very large, is it? We put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Now, again, the reference here, though, is that, hey, that bit in the mouth controls the whole body. You're getting this. Now, go back now. Don't miss this now. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to what? Bridle. That's another term concerning horses, really, isn't it? To bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth. That bit controls the jaw, doesn't it? And when you pull on the bridle or the reins, you turn the whole horse, don't you? You know what he's saying here? That's why Isaiah said, whoa, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. And the Holy Spirit here is telling us that, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, and they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. That mouth controls the whole body. And the Bible says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you and I have a problem with our mouth, you know what it really is? It's a problem with our heart, but it shows up in our mouth. It shows up in our mouth. Look what he says here. He says, behold, the ships, which though they be great or driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. That rudder is, compared to the ship, is almost insignificant. But that rudder, that helm, will turn that ship in circles. Little bitty thing. Now remember, it's being referenced like the tongue. Like the tongue. Now, verse 5 says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. A little fire, I mean a little small spark, can set a forest on fire, can't it? Just a little spark. And remember, he's talking about our tongue, he's talking about our lips, he's talking about our mouth. And it says, and the tongue, listen to this, is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Now look, listen to this. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents and things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. You ever thought about that? They have elephants in the circus, don't they? They teach them how to do tricks, don't they? Whales down at SeaWorld, and I've never been there, but it's amazing to me. They can train those whales. The lion, the king of the beasts, maybe the most ferocious. He says the lion turneth from no animal. And they can be tamed. They can be controlled. The largest sea animals, the largest land animals, the most ferocious land animals, all have been tamed. Even at this day and time, no doubt, as James was speaking about this by the Holy Spirit of God, says in every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But look at verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith, in other words, with that tongue, bless we God. Praise the Lord, even the Father, and therewith, with that same tongue, curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so be. Notice he said brethren. He's talking to Christians. Amen. He's talking to us. Now, isn't it amazing that the vision of God that Isaiah saw, the thing that troubled him the most, was his mouth. I'm talking about a man of God. I'm talking about a man of God that was already established. I mean, well respected. I mean, just highly esteemed. I'm talking about a man with some backbone, some grit. Amen. When he comes into the presence of a holy God, he says, I'm cut off. I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. And you know he wasn't a curser. He wasn't a swearer. He wasn't a dirty joke teller, but he understood that his mouth was unclean. And again, just to understand, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It is a heart issue, but it shows up here. It shows up here more than anywhere else. What comes out of our lips? What's in our heart? If you got bitterness in your heart, I guarantee you bitterness will come out of your lips. If you got anger in your heart, anger is going to come out of your mouth. It is a hard issue, it's no doubt. But hey, the thing that disturbed this man of God the most was his unclean lips. And he said, woe is me. Woe is me. And folks, I think if a man like Isaiah, who was a great man of God before this vision. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. I think that he had been praying for a special manifestation of God, but I don't think it's what he expected. But he knew it's what he needed. And that's something I want you to understand. You might not get what you're going to expect the next 2 weeks, but hey, listen, the man of God is going to preach the Word of God, and you and I will get what we need. And what we do with it is going to be very, very important. Very, very important. Oh, my. And I told you this the other night, there's times now, I have not arrived. I have not come close to arriving. But I've been in situations and somebody was talking about something and then I wanted to tell them something that I knew. And you know what? Holy Spirit just said to me, is that going to profit anything? Is that going to edify anybody? Is that going to make that person closer to Christ? And I almost got it out of my mouth, and I don't need to say that. There's no need of that. But listen, it's been too many times I did say it. Way too many. Information that wasn't going to help a person at all. It's just rooted in pride. I know something. Here's what so-and-so did. Absolutely nothing worth coming out of my mouth. Was not going to benefit the person. Wasn't going to benefit me. Was not going to bring honor and glory to God. And Isaiah, I do believe, he realized, hey, you know, I've said some things I should not have said. I should have kept my mouth shut. And I've told you this before. And I think probably like anybody else, it's a matter of growing. Dr. Seidler, when I knew him, was an older man. And he didn't talk much. Now, he got in the pulpit, now he preached. But he wasn't a man of small talk. And I don't know if he was always like that or not. I kind of tend to think that he probably was not. But over the years, he kind of cut his speech down, so to speak. Somebody asked him one day, I said, Dr. Seidler, I noticed that you don't say a whole lot. He said, yeah, I don't have a lot to apologize for either. Amen. A lot of wisdom in that, wasn't it? A lot of wisdom in that. But he had to learn it. We've got to learn it. But we need to learn it quick. Because our tongue is like a fire. It destroys. And we've got to be so careful. Especially among our brothers and sisters in Christ and in the church. Hey, listen, we have got to be courteous to each other, loving to each other. Listen, there's not a one of you here I cannot pick apart about something in your life. And guess what? There's not a one of you here couldn't pick me apart. I guarantee you, if you need some help, I can give you some advice. If you really need some help, talk to my wife. But we're on the same side. We're on the same team. We need to edify each other, amen? We need to pray for each other. We need to encourage each other, amen? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We'll get a hold of that and realize how unruly that tongue is. Isaiah realized that. And guess what? Let me go on and finish up. I've said enough about that, but I don't know if you could say enough about it, but I think you got the point. We see the sovereign potentate in the last part of verse 5, and I need to hurry. He said, "For mine eyes have seen what king?" The. That's a definite article. Uzziah was what? A king. And it might have been that he had his eyes on a king, but now he's seeing the king. The king. And so what we see here is the sovereign potentate. Now that's redundant, I know, but you can't express it too much. The words sovereign and potentate are pretty much synonyms, pretty close to each other. He's the sovereign potentate. He's all powerful. He's sovereign. And he's looking at the king. Not just a king, not just some king, but the king, amen. The Lord of hosts. And then look at the sanctifying purge in verse 6 and 7. "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin is purged." What about that? Where did he put it at? Put it on his mouth, didn't he? That's where Isaiah said, "My problem is." And so God put that, he put that coal on his mouth and he purged him. Purged him, he got it out, amen. Made him aware of how vile his mouth could be, even though he didn't curse, even though he didn't talk vile talk. But hey, he got him aware, and he touched him, and he purged him, and he sanctified him, amen. He cleansed him. All those words are similar, to purge, to cleanse, to sanctify. And then what happened? We see the surrendering prophet. "And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Now here's something you got to get now. The cleansing comes before the service. The cleansing comes. You want to be used of God, you're going to have to be cleansed. "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." It was quoted this morning. We're going to have 2 weeks of the Word of God. And if you'll take it in and you will absorb it, I guarantee you, it'll cleanse you. It'll purge you. What I'm telling you today will purge you and cleanse you. You know what that's going to do? It's going to make you a vessel fit for the Master's use, to work through, to flow through, for the Holy Ghost to be able to go through you and do great and mighty things. Now just think about if we can multiply that by the number of people in our church. If we get a good group of our people to get a hold of that. I mean, to seek God's face and His presence. And then whatever the Holy Spirit of God brings up in our life, that we would purge ourselves from it, that we would confess it. "Blessed is he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin. He shall have mercy." Amen. But you don't only confess it, You got to confess and forsake it. And this is what Isaiah has done. And now God's saying, I need a servant. Who will go? Isaiah says, I want to go. I'll go, Lord. Send me. Here am I. Send me. And then we see the sending in verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people. Go and tell. Isn't that something? Hey, he's going to be a more effective witness than he's ever been. That vision probably was not what he was expecting. It knocked him down before it lifted him up. And I want God to have his way in my heart and in the heart of the church this coming 2 weeks. And I'm praying that the man of God will have the messages that we need. Not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. And that we'll be tuned in. Tuned in. And that we'll feel the presence and power of God working in our life. And that it'll draw us closer to him. And enable us and empower us to serve him in a greater capacity. I'm talking about going to higher ground. But I know one thing. The view is better from higher ground, isn't it? When you're up in the mountains and you can look out over the valley and the greenery, the trees and the flowers. I mean, it's pretty down in the valley, but just a little different when you got on higher ground, isn't it? I want to move to higher ground these coming 2 weeks. What about you? Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. And one way we can move to higher ground is to put our tongues and lips and mouth on the altar. The man of God, the thing that was brought out to this great man of God, that he was a man of unclean lips. If Isaiah's lips were unclean, what are ours? Father, as we come to you, Lord, this morning, we thank you, God, for the instruction in the Scriptures, Lord. And Father, I have not touched the hem of the garment of this great passage of Scripture. But Lord, I believe Isaiah was praying for a special manifestation of thy presence. I hope our people are praying for that. Lord, I'm praying for that. But it may not be manifest like we think it would be. I don't know if this is what Isaiah was expecting, but Lord, after it happened, he knew. He said, this is what I needed. This is what I needed. Thank you, Lord, for giving me what I needed. Lord, give us what we need this week, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another live Sunday morning broadcast from the Grace Baptist Church of Orangeburg, South Carolina, with our pastor, Brother Darrell Wilkins, here on WWOS FM 91.9 and WWOS AM 810, St. George, South Carolina. Also, WPOG 710 AM, St. Matthew, South Carolina, and online at WWOSradio.net. We appreciate you listening this morning, and it's our prayer that we have been a blessing and encouragement to you today. If you'd like more information about Grace Baptist Church or about salvation, call 803-536-4300 and we'll be glad to help you in any way we can. Please join us next Sunday at 11 a.m. for another live Sunday morning broadcast from the services of Grace Baptist Church in Orangeburg, South Carolina, 4305 Columbia Road. Thank you for joining us and have a great rest of your Sunday, and God bless you.